Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Acts, and we're in chapter 6. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. So wisdom says I'm going to know how to apply knowledge. See, knowing what alms are as opposed to a social gospel is wisdom. God doesn't want us to give money just because people ask us for money. The Bible says, give to them that ask of you and withhold not. That's another thing. That's not talking about the church coffers. I don't have the right to be giving your tithes and offerings to somebody haphazardly. If I have a need to give to somebody, I give it out of my pocket. You have a need, you give it out of your pocket. We give as we go. Now, there are people we know are going to use that money to go get drinks. So you say, I'm not going to give you money, I'm going to give you a sandwich. We've all heard the stories of people taking the sandwich and throwing it in the trash. They're looking for a drink. Wisdom says, I'm going to be wise. I'm going to be circumspect. I'm going to be discriminating. And the Bible gives us the names of these guys. Stephen was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. He's the only one who gets that designation because he's going to be drilled into here in the next chapter as well as later in this one. And the Bible says with him was Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. Now, these men's names all have something I wanted to tell you about, but I can't tell you everything that's exciting about this passage. But verse 7 says, once they got all this handled, that the word of the Lord increased. You see that? How cool is that? Once you get things in order, and everybody's in their spot, and everybody's not murmuring anymore, and we're taking care of those little problems as they come up, the Bible says that the word of God increased and the number of the disciples multiplied again in Jerusalem greatly. But look at this. And a great company of the priests were obedient. You know what that tells me? That tells me that when it comes down to it, religious error is best overcome by Christian consistency. You hear that? Religious error is best overcome by a Christian consistency. These priests have been told a number of times already that Christ was crucified by you. And you are guilty of having been culpable in his crucifixion. He was your Messiah. And you killed him. But God raised him up so you could get repentance. Wait a minute. What a word. Wait a minute. What a word. He killed the Messiah and he's bringing him back and he's saying, it was for you that he came. And he could never be saved. You ever heard somebody feel that way? God doesn't want me, man. I'm a mess. These guys were a mess on steroids. But a great many of the priests finally believed it. Why? Because there was a consistency between behavior and belief. And because of that, the priests even began to believe. I don't know what it's going to take for some of y'all to come across the line, but I'll tell you what, Jesus loves you with all of His being. God the Father Himself loves you. He gave His Son for you. And He would have you to come into the family of God. The Bible says a great company in verse 7 of the priests that were obedient to the faith, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. He's going to be brought to us in the next segment of the passage here. But look what it says he did. He was full of faith. We all ought to want that to be me. Remember as a little kid, maybe you wanted to be a firefighter. Or you wanted to do something. I remember when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a mountain climber. Really, I did. It was weird. I can still see it in my mind. I'd read little articles when I got old enough to read. But when I was real little, I was on these rocks. And I was climbing up on the rocks. And in my mind, man, I was Joe Mountain Climber. And they were bricks. I got hurt. As people who climb mountains do. I got hurt climbing mountains. But God was in the details, may I testify. As a little boy, I envisioned myself climbing mountains. What did you want to be? Can I interject something? You've got to be wanting to be full of faith. Full of faith. He was full of faith. Now, when somebody's full of faith, others will notice that. There was a friend of mine in Pennsylvania. He was a one of the most mature people. His wife told me, and he was younger than me by about 6-8 years, I don't know. But he was so mature, he made me nervous. He'd smile nice, and he was just the nicest guy. But everywhere he went, he just went in this calm. It didn't matter. He was in a situation of work that was crazy, but he was in this calm. And people would know that there was something weird about him because he was always calm. But when push came to shove in their life, they would say, "Would you pray for me? My wife's this, my husband's that, my daughter's this." Because they knew he was a man full of faith. And what I want you to know is that ought to be something we aspire to. And the Bible says you can have control over that. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You want to be full of faith? Get more of the Word of God. You can listen to podcasts all week long of good Bible teaching. You can do that. You can set it up, knock it down all week long. Just be filling your mind with Jesus. And the more you know, the more you grow. It's an amazing thing because God makes it clear. Faith comes by hearing. You get so full of faith, it'll be what you talk about. Out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says, the mouth will speak. So if we're so full of politics, our Savior can't be seen. We got to say, you know what? I need, just like I said about the children, we need to dial that down and go more for Jesus, because the problem in America is not going to be fixed by political uprising. It's going to be fixed by spiritual revival. We have to personalize this. And he says he was full of faith and power. You know, the Bible says that the knowledge of a man's heart, the knowledge of a man's heart makes his face to shine. And some of you moms here, and some of you who kids are launched, if you could go back with them when you had the children at your apron strings. If somebody came to your door and said, "That is not your daughter. That is not your son. We're here. We're in black suits. We're from the government. We're taking your daughter. We're taking your son." The knowledge of your heart will make your face to shine. You're going to say, "There is no way." And the first thing you're going to do is you're going to look at their credentials. And then you're going to go get the birth certificates, which have a footprint. And you're going to start documenting, aren't you? My point is this, is that when you have the knowledge of truth, you are undauntable. The Bible says he had great power, and you will have great power when you have the Word of God under your vest. You know that you know that you know that if God be for us, no one can be against you. You know that you know that you know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So when the devil throws every single thing he can at you, and you do buckle, and you do weep, God says, "Look, I'm telling you, just hang in there. I am for you." That's what we need to know. Because this world could get real dicey real quick. We could be in a prison like the North Korean pastor I mentioned a moment ago. Hard labor. And so forth. But the Bible says, and he did great wonders. The word for wonders here means something so strange as to cause it to be watched or observed. Isn't that good? Something so strange as to cause it to be watched or observed. That's what a wonder is. It goes on to say miracles. That's the word semion. It means sign. It's the word for sign. So he had great faith, he had power, he had wonders that he was doing things so strange. I think of Ezekiel when I think of that. Ezekiel was a guy doing all kinds of strange things. He walked around for a number of months with no clothes on in the community. Why? Because he was saying, "This is what's going to happen to you guys. You're going to be carried into Babylon naked. And I'm just telling you, if you'll get on the right side of things, God will take care of you." He lay for a large number of days on one side, and then he had to lay on his other side for a shorter number of days. And when they asked him, and he finally was able to put words to it, he said, "This is what's going to happen. You're going to be besieged for this number of days, and you're going to fall and be taken in this number of days," something of that nature. He had to eat food that was cooked over cow dung. God said, "Human dung." He says, "Oh, Lord God, I've never done anything like that." He says, "Well, then I'm going to give you cow dung for man's dung," he says, "because I want you to teach these people that they're going to have to do what they got to do to get fire. Even their energy is going to be gone." And he was a man who did strange things. And you? You want to know what's strange to the world? You being nice. Being nice is strange today. Not nice once or twice. Not nice to people who are nice to you, but nice to people who aren't nice to you. Well, you know what else is strange? For men who have pure religion and who really are gentle, because the Spirit of God is in you. Because men are scrappers by nature. That's why the Bible says in Timothy, where he says that I would that all men everywhere lift up holy hands praying without wrath or doubting. Wrath. You know, because men are wrathful potentially. We have to take care of that, because we've learned that the thing that gets people to listen to us is maybe if we speak louder or we lean in or whatever. Jesus never broke a bruised reed, and he never quenched a smoking flax, it says. What's that mean? That means he was gentle. Being like Jesus is no picnic for us men, because nature drives us. But when Jesus does something in us, that's a wonder. That's a wonder. Make us nice. What about loving our wives? Wouldn't that be something that God would have us do? Being that we tend to get hurt sometimes by our wives. They know all about us, and sometimes they reveal us, and we're scared to death that they might. And so we get bitter. We back off. The Bible says, husbands, be not embittered against your wife. A lot of men are bitter against their wives. They've just decided, I can't do anything about it. But the Bible says, love them. That means get down there and wash their feet and love on them and make sure you're thinking about what they're thinking about. What about wives and submitting? Submitting to your husband and respecting them. Respecting them, just like you would respect whoever you can think of in your mind's eye. That you could recognize your respect as you treated them by this plumb line. You see, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, but more than that, we're servants of Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, but more than that, we are servants of Christ. And my service to my wife is to love her, even if it's difficult at times. And my service to Christ, if I'm a wife, is to respect my husband, because life is hard. He's getting beat up every day. He comes home feeling like a failure. But when you say, honey, you got it going on, he will take a gun and ride right into a battalion for you. It is magical. It is clear. Every storyline of every great movie or novel is that narrative. But if we become caught up in our world's milieu, we will think we are supposed to challenge them and we're supposed to bring them to heel or something, and it's just not like that. What is a wonder? I could tell you more, right? Loving children in a world that says don't have any. What is a wonder? It's giving money when you don't have it to give because you believe God will take care of you. He always has. So I'm going to give. What is a wonder? Witnessing to somebody when you're scared to death, but you're going to do it anyway. And if it makes you quiver and cry, then so be it, because Jesus is the one they need to know, or they will not be saved. Beloved, I conclude here, and I've gone far around, circumspect about our giving and getting ourselves right, because we know we are the foundation of a country. The home's the first building block. The church is the conscience. And the church has not been bringing people to that knowledge. You and I cannot change the entire world, but we can change eternity for a few. We can. That's what you can do. You can be a hero in somebody else's story. And this morning, I just want to ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up in Jesus? I hope you'll want to be full of faith. I hope you'll want to be full of power. I hope you'll want to be somebody who does wonderful things and becomes a human sign to the world that God is and there is none beside Him. I hope that's what we all want to be. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30. And we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.